Welcome back to the Balance Bully Podcast for ambitious women in business and a few brave men. I'm your host, Nikita Renthigpen, always excited to be in the place with you. Well, listen, we have a special treat. We're bringing back someone who was just rocking with us on The Lazy Overachiever just a few weeks back. Today, we have Greg Wasserman. He is the head of growth, partnerships, and community at Cast Magic, an amazing company that allows you to literally work a little bit smarter instead of working so hard with all of the content creation that today's entrepreneurs and small business folks are doing to really make their voices heard in the midst of a whole ocean of craziness and wackiness. Today, I really wanted to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit with you, Greg. You were dropping gem after gem after gem on the TLO when we were talking. And something that really came up for me when we were just kind of in each other's virtual space was you have some layers to you. You were not just born yesterday and woke up just, you know, really focused on trust and relationships and fitness and adventure and curiosity, those kind of things that lead you according to your motto of life is about time and relationships. And it really did, we didn't have enough time on the TLO, but it really made me want to ask you why you created this model for yourself and how did you come up with it? Like what in your life inspired you to really infuse that as a part of your being?
Well, first, always a pleasure to talk with you. Second, you know, thank you to all of your listeners for giving me a platform to talk. For me, I mean, life is about time and relationships. I've been thinking that way since I was a little kid. Always from a, you have all these different schools of people, right? Like, let's go down to the cliques of Mean Girls, right? You got your plastics, you've got your jocks, you've got your Dungeons and Dragons, you've got all these different groups. But like at the end of the day, we're all at the core, like we're human, right? Yeah. So like for me, it was like, just because that is who you got grouped as or who you saw yourself as doesn't mean like we didn't have connections. And for me, I was always the person like, how do I bring people together? Mm-hmm. And I've always thought about that. And then when you got into the working world, it became one of those like, I've always been on the revenue side of things. And so in revenue, like you've got a number to hit, but at the end of the day, I'm like, we all know we aren't going to be in this job forever.
Yeah.
Like, just from a generational standpoint, like we're not our parents. We're 40 years, you retire from the same company.
Right.
And even if that was the case, that's 40 years of people you're interacting with. So for me, it was always like, look, I don't know. Yes, I am selling you X now, but what I am selling you now, what you're buying tomorrow is going to be very different. Who we are will evolve. So like, let's create that connection. And that's kind of always where I've always thought. So for me, it's always been a key thing. And then to my values, like curiosity is there. Like you don't know what you don't know. So I don't know you. Let's be curious. Let's learn. And if I can help you, great. If I can't, maybe we at least know each other and in the future we can.
Yeah. Has your curiosity ever led you down that, what is it, curiosity killed the cat moment? Like, has it ever got you into trouble?
I mean, of course. This is why the saying exists. Like, I wouldn't be here if we didn't say, like, curiosity didn't kill the cat. I mean, examples? I don't know. I mean, sometimes you've just got to have trust, right? So mm-hmm. sometimes you're like, oh, I'm a type A personality. So curiosity of I've got to know, and if we go down to the pull back the layers of Greg, as we were talking about, right?
Yeah.
Like I was a perfectionist. Like I grew up in a perfectionist household. So mm-hmm. curiosity killed the cat. Perfection killed the cat in that regard as well.
Yeah.
You know, the thought that like everything has to be perfect. So like the curiosity, like, well, what about this? What about that? And you play all the scenarios. At some point, you're like, I just got to pull the trigger and do it. And good, it's got to be good enough. And that ends up being the hard thing for me at the time.
Yeah, no, I understand it. I talk about perfectionism a lot. I'm a reformed perfectionist, so no judgment here at all. And I do truly believe perfectionism is a form of bondage that doesn't, it gives you a lot of dopamine hits in the moment, right? When you're doing it and you think you're onto something good, but at the end of it, it could be so stifling to creativity and energy and just so many other layers. So I'm glad that you recognize that version of it for yourself and you're no longer wearing it as a badge of honor the way so many people do. and was able to let that go. But one of the things that I thought about, because you and I were talking about, we were talking in the green room, like you are literally like seconds from a beautiful romantic weekend with your forever lover, your girlfriend. And the first thing I thought of when you were speaking about curiosity, I was like, I wonder how'd you land her? Were you curious when you were out and about and you guys met at a restaurant? Like, how did you guys meet? How did you come into play with her? Was it your curiosity that led you to her, or was it more of your adventurous side?
I guess to answer that question, we got to go back to old Greg, new Greg, as I like to say. So we go to the perfectionist mindset, right? Like, the way I was brought up, the way I took on, as you understand, like how I filtered life, not how the intentions of people were, but how I filtered the intentions. Mm-hmm. And that plagued me. And it broke me. Mm-hmm. And so, was it a year and a half ago? I guess now. I ended up in a rehab facility out of outpatient, but I was depressed, suicidal. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the weight of perfectionism, but everything just kind of broke me.
Yeah.
Went through a program, life-changing. I recommend everyone does it. I think our world would be a lot better if we did it. It wasn't 12 steps. It was just like breaking down the layers, which you would understand from your line of work. Mm-hmm. And so in the rebuilding process, I went from a fixed perfectionist mindset to very much a growth mindset of going like, YOLO is the phrase that most people go with, like, you know what? You only live once. Let's go do this. And that's usually used in the way of like, of a concert. You know what? Let's go do it. Or like, I'll be tired the next morning. YOLO, right? Mm-hmm. And this was more of like, it was through a matchmaker and they reached out.
Nice.
And I'm like, you know what? I was being told that I was being closed off to love. Mm-hmm. And then this came in. I'm like, you know what? Let's be curious. Mm-hmm. Let's lean into this. Mm-hmm. Let's move with this. And then here we are.
I think that's a beautiful story. One of the things that I tell my power couple clients is always to wear your cap. CAP is curiosity, adventure, and play. And all of those things were at work there, whether you were, you know, consciously intending for it or not. Just the fact that you were open to a matchmaker, the fact that you were open to listening. Some people hire an advisor, coach, matchmaker, mentor, whatever, and don't follow the instructions, right? Like, you were open to following through and saying, you know what? Let's go through with this process.
So full disclosure, I wasn't the client. I put myself in the database, got hit up. She's the client. And I'm like, you know what? Thought she was attractive. I like the profile. Let's be open. Let's be open to love. Let's be open to possibilities. Let's go have the curiosity instead of being closed. Where at the moment I was in the regard to love. I was so focused on how to rebuild the life that I need to work through.
Yeah. You said you were so focused on, say that one more time for me, Greg.
I was so focused on rebuilding my life that I wasn't making room for love in the romantic sense. I was so focused on like, hold on, I am rebuilding 40 years of who I was and who I thought I was and who I wanted, who I thought society wanted me to be and all those components to it. So I was just so like focused on that because like that was a heavy lifestyle change and mentality change. So I'm like, I'm not in the place for this. And then therapist basically is like, I think you're being closed off. Like, you're open. You're curious on so much. You have this growth mindset and so much, but I think like you're being closed to love. Mm-hmm. And then I got this email and I'm like, you know what? I'll show her boss. Now I'm joking.
Like, well, listen, sometimes you need that, right? Like, you know, sometimes you need that little motivation to be like, you know what? Tell me I can't, so I can prove you that I can. I feel like I was very much that child and became that adult. Like, tell me I can't do something now as an adult, I'll filter it through. Well, do I really want to do it? Right? Like, I'm not just going to do it because you said I couldn't do it. But the younger version of me, all you had to do to motivate me was tell me that I couldn't, and I was in it. So I'm with you completely, which I really appreciate. Listening to your story and hearing that you were navigating the reality that I think a lot of people won't be honest about, that the stress and anxiety that can come with trying to have everything perfect, to have everything correct, to prove to whoever, to prove to your younger self, to prove to your old football coach, to prove to your parents, your siblings, whatever, whoever is in the back of your mind, like, you can't do this, you're not good enough, you're not worthy, whatever that monkey mind energy is that's coming up, that makes us drive really, really hard. I know for me, it was me proving that I was worthy. That was really important for me because I grew up with substance abuse addicted parents, in and out of jail, all of it, who abandoned me at a young age and then came in and out of my life with more abandonment. So I was constantly just trying to prove that I was worthy of being saved, of being in someone's energy, of being wanted, right? Like, that was, and it wasn't conscious, it was unconscious, but knowing that there was something kind of monkey mind energy behind that driving it, and realizing at some point that it wasn't serving me to keep, you know, appeasing the voice and trying to prove the voice wrong, was really supportive for me. And yes, the therapist went to therapy, right? The coach got coached, the mentor became mentee. Like, all of the things were super important for me because, as I say unapologetically, I'm a special spice. So I needed a whole team of people to help me kind of get back into my seat of power. It was always mine. I just kind of pulled away from it. So to hear someone like you, who one is a man, but also is a man who's at the forefront with high visibility and doing all the things you do, admit that as well, you're freeing so many people just by being honest about, you know, you can be dope and doubt, right? Like, all those things can be true. You can be brilliant and unbalanced. Like, that can be true too. So just realizing that you don't have to have an or in your life and choose to just be focused on building and not have room for love. Like you said, hold on, I want to come into this space of A and D, of and have
DBT.
Both. Yes. 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 I love that so much. So what's going on with you these days? Like, what are you looking forward to as you're balancing boldly with your new, you know, personal brand that's coming out from the TLO show that we were talking about? I know those things are on the horizon, and you're doing great work at Cast Magic. And then you have this beautiful human who's literally waiting for you to wrap up this episode so you can get back to love business. Like, what's happening in the world of Greg 2024 through 2027?
For me, it's continuing. I think now I've figured out who I am more, right? Like, it's not like I didn't know, it's now just working on it, but like, you have a better understanding. And from that standpoint, it is trying to let people know, from a message standpoint, we have a fix it in a Me Too society. Mm-hmm. And I would love to figure out how do we can break those chains. And Me Too is far different than like the whole Me Too movement,
right?
Me Too being, it's like my father passed in December. Mm-hmm. Right? And so someone can go like, oh, well, my aunt just died too. So then it's like, hold on. Now I've got to navigate your dying aunt with my dad. And like, it's all about the Me Too. Most of us think of it as like, oh, we're trying to bond with you by like going like, oh, I know what you're going through. But instead, it's like, hold on, I'm being vulnerable and you're being vulnerable, but they're not negating. So I think we have a Me Too issue.
Yeah.
That I would love to try and figure out how do we fix. And then a fix it mentality, which is basically how I got to where I was, where you say something and someone's like, well, have you thought about this? Or have you done that? And so it's like, hold on, I didn't even ask you for your advice. I didn't ask for something.
That's right.
So if we can start taking a step back and realizing like, are you telling me all this because you want me to just listen? You tell me all this because you want me to respond? Mm-hmm. So if we could, as a society, just go like, thank you for sharing. Why are you sharing this? Are you looking for me to go? Me as a person go like, yeah, I want you to share. Great. You opened the door for me. Or going like, no, I just need to get this off my chest. Thank you so much for listening. That means a lot. And then we move on from there. Like, that is where I would love to continue to advocate, because that's what brought me to a program in the first place, because I was me too'd and I was fixed it for so long. I didn't know subconsciously that that was going on. And I think there's so many of us that were in my shoes that has changed who we want to be. It's created shame. It's created fear. It's created lack of vulnerability because our worthiness is tied to someone else trying to fix it, even though we're not broken. So that is where I would love to continue to advocate in 2024 and beyond.
Yeah, I love it. And I agree with so many layers of it for so many reasons, right? Like professionally and personally. I hear you. And it is doable. I stand in that. Any problem that exists has a solution. I do believe that. It's just a matter of whether or not we're ready to accept that solution and meet whatever requirement is needed to bring that solution to the forefront. So it's time. 2024 and beyond, it's time. So before I let you go, I have to ask you my signature question of how are you giving yourself permission to pause?
It's funny you asked that. Yesterday, I was feeling like overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I left myself an hour block between calls and I'm like, I've got an hour for lunch. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, messages were coming in. I'm like, no, I'm going to ignore them. I'm going to breathe. I ate my lunch. I laid down, I breathed for 10 breaths, I grounded myself, I centered myself. You asked me to do that a year and a half ago? No, it's just keep working, keep going. It's like, all right, keep the clock going. I'm like, no, and I think I posted on about this on my LinkedIn a couple times now because there's power in the pause. Mm-hmm. And I got into a debate with someone about it and they're like, no, you got to keep going. And I'm like, there is value. And it's no different than training, right? So, like, you will keep going when it's a game. You're not going to pause. The game's going on. The game of life is a marathon. So how do I keep taking these steps to pause? Either take a step forward or back so you can move a step forward. Or in the case here is, like, how do I just ground yourself and realizing, like, taking a walk is helpful. It's therapeutic.
That's right.
Breathing is therapeutic. I mean, it's something we have to do to live. But we take for granted. So I was, of course, I'm a type 80 personality. I'm never a napper. COVID taught me the value of actually like, hold on. Instead of go, 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 go. If it's through 3 o'clock and you start needing that coffee, I don't drink coffee, but like you need the energy drink, whatever it is. It's like working from home. You're like, I'm going to lay down and breathe for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's like your cat nap that like I took for granted because I never knew because I'm like, I got to go. So that is what I will tell everyone that's listening here. Give yourself that permission to breathe, to go for a walk, to step away from work or family chores. I know the kids are yelling, whatever the case may be. Like, this is why they say the air mask comes down. You put it on yourself before you put it on someone else. If you're not breathing, if you're not taking that moment for yourself, then everyone else around you is going to feel what your energy you're giving off because you're pushing through it.
That's right. It's very infectious both ways. Good energy can be beautifully infectious, and so can negative, anxious, overwhelmed energy be infectious. And it's all about what do you want to give out, right? So I truly appreciate that. And everything you said, you know, I'm biased. I 100,000%. Stand for all of it. When you use the marathon of life analogy, the first thing I thought of is I know one of the things that is fueling for you is fitness as well. And the first thing I thought is weight training. If you overwork the muscle, it doesn't have a moment to, you know, do the micro tear that has to happen in the rest stage so that it can come back tighter and build again. And that's that walk, that's the nap, that's the 10 minutes of breathing, that's the moment to allow the body to come back together again so it can be stronger when you go for your next weight set or, you know, the next time you work on that part of the body. I was literally thinking about your bio when you said that.
I mean, it's a great pull, and it's so true. And now I'm taking the pause to do that better because yeah, fitness is one of the core values that I live by. But when you don't have the balance of pause, I end up getting injured a lot. I go hard, and next thing you know, you're like, oh, we should have taken off that day. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally hear you on that. So, Greg, how can people connect with you that haven't heard the Lazy Overachiever show, which they need to go wherever podcasts are heard or on our YouTube page and get that and watch that full podcast episode where you talked about so many amazing things there. But if they haven't heard it and they want to follow you now, where can they go and kind of meet you where you're at?
So back to your what is the focus of 2024? It's I'm building a brand. So as of right now, it all lives on LinkedIn. I'm very active. I think yesterday's post was literally about consistency and just posting. But I'm hoping by the end of 2024 to have a website so that I can start directing people there and building the whole brand image for myself because, yeah, I want to continue to let people know, like, not only who Greg is from a professional standpoint, what I can value, I can offer, but also you're not alone.
Yeah.
I understand maybe not what everyone's going through, but, like, if my words can help you, then I want to be able to provide that. And so thank you. And thank everyone here that's listening to give me a safe space to come and turn into.
Oh, well, you know, I'm thrilled to have you hashtag times two at this point. It's been awesome. I look forward to many off-air conversations with you, continuing the time and the relationships that's fueling you. But for now, I want you to get out of here so you can go and have some love fun with your lover. So thank you so much for coming to the BBP, sharing your time, sharing your story, and just being authentically you. We really do appreciate
you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Balance Boldly listeners, thank you again for showing up, showing out, being tuned in for the full episode. I have two favors as always. First, I need you to think of one person in your ecosystem who can benefit from hearing Greg's story and share this episode. Second, I want you to do what I ask you to do every single week. Go and enjoy the balance of your day, but remember, do it boldly.